How's it going, listeners? Welcome back to CuboltCast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the newly released early access horror game, Outlast Trials.
Yeah, I was wondering if you were going to say early access or not, because technically it's early access, but...
I don't know if we'll cover it later when it comes out. Was it like August? Fully released? Or am I thinking of...
It's October. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I was telling Chug this before. So our progress is going to be deleted.
Oh, really?
That's what I heard.
When the full game comes out?
Yeah.
That's kind of annoying.
Yeah, we're going to have to do those like early trials again.
Well, honestly, they'll probably add more missions. So we could probably do the new ones first and then do the other ones.
They already... have you seen the menu yet where you actually select the
trials? Yeah, I looked at it.
What do they call it? X?
Project X.
Yeah. I'm wondering if that's like an end game thing or maybe it's even a...
I mean, we can get into it later, but I know how to get tokens and stuff.
Oh, okay.
So we'll talk about that when we get into the game later.
Let's see. Well, I know you guys have been playing Diablo 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, early access released back on Thursday.
Because we got the...
We got
deluxe.
We got the 90, but basically, it's really good.
I've been playing games mainly on the TV because I have the Steam Deck docked. I got a 50-foot Ethernet cable, and it's connected to the router, which is also connected to the dock. So I'm streaming from my computer to the Steam Deck through an application called Sunshine, which is Sunshine and Moonlight are like a server thing for streaming. But it's perfect. Like, I don't notice any input lag, no stuttering, like no weird Wi-Fi stuff. It's like I have my computer directly connected to the TV.
That's crazy. Mm.
And there's an OLED TV we've been using, so it's really nice.
Mm.
Like, I'm super into OLED now. I hadn't even seen it previously, but like now I want OLED everything. But everything looks so good.
What is OLED anyway? Like better colors or something?
Yeah, it's a newer technology. At least the blacks completely turns the pixels off, and they have like the deepest blacks.
Is this OLED?
No,
I don't know, and it might be close. Yours is the 12-inch iPad. I know mine's not.
Then it probably isn't.
Isn't it the pixels actually work hand in hand together? Like,
yeah,
it's instead of it being like individual pixels, it's like the screen is like a giant pixel.
I was watching Linus
or something like that.
He explained it a little bit more, but basically, there's zero input lag or ghosting due to the way it works. Like, there's no response time. Like, you know, that you see, like, 3 millisecond response time. It's like 0.3 milliseconds.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And so it looks amazing. There's like no response time at all.
That's partially why I was looking at those ultra wides the other day.
Yeah.
I'm like really tempted. There's like three of them. Like, the 3120 by 1440? Is that what the resolution is?
Something like that, yeah.
There's the Xenon Flex, which is from Corsair. Then there's the LG Ultra Gear OLED, which is from LG, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a Samsung Odyssey OLED G8.
Because, you know, playing on TVs, you usually have a bunch of ghosting and stuff. I was really surprised that I was playing with zero ghosting. And I didn't even know much about OLED when I started playing. And then I was like, why does this look so good? And I played on my parents' TV, the same game, Zelda, and it looked a lot worse. Just even though it's a 4K TV, it wasn't OLED, so I'm kind of getting spoiled by it now.
Wow.
I wanted to show Chug. I'll show him whenever he comes over, but...
How much are those OLED?
Well, the G8 is around, I think, 1100 to 1200.
But those are also 240 hertz.
240 hertz, 0.03 millisecond response time.
Which is like...
It's ridiculous. But
how do we even, like, okay, let's say I get a curved monitor or whatever, the G8. What if I want Discord and my game?
It depends on which monitor, because some of them you can divide it. So, like, half of it is game, half of it is another screen. You can, like, turn it into multiple screens.
I mean, if you're playing ultra wide, it's covering your entire screen.
But would I play every game in ultra wide?
You could if you wanted to.
Yeah, you can.
But not every game is ultra-wide support. And you often have to break the game. Like Resident Evil games, they don't have good ultra-wide support. You have to download a mod called RE Toolkit or something like that, and it puts it to ultra-wide resolution.
So then it'll, like, put it in the middle?
Mm-hmm.
The blank on the
or side. You can put it wherever you want.
Mm-hmm. And then have Discord on the right side or whatever.
But if you said something like you wanted it, you either wanted a curved or like a flat, the Xenion Flex, the whole point of that monitor is so you can make it curved if you want. You can literally bend the screen to be flat, or if you want it curved, you could bend it to be curved. It's actually really cool. But if you buy another one, you're kind of stuck with whatever you get.
Yeah.
Yeah, but back to the Steam Deck streaming thing. Like, I'm just so impressed with it, and I've been enjoying it so much because I can sit on the couch and play any of the same games, pretty much. Yesterday, what I was doing, I had an AirPod in on Discord, and then I was just playing the game on the TV. And you didn't hear the game audio in the background or anything.
No. The only thing I heard was you gulping down your...
I don't know why.
Your shake or something.
Yeah. Like, I was eating a rice cake, too. I don't know how you didn't hear that. Yeah, I'm not really sure. Loud.
I saw... I played... Chug, you streamed Modern Warfare 2 from your PC to your Steam Deck, and it was, like, seamless.
Yeah, that was through Sunshine, which he downloaded. Yeah. He showed me
how
to download.
That was so nice.
But through Ethernet, it's even better. Like, if you configure the perfect bitrate for your internet, it's like you're not even streaming over Wi-Fi. It's almost like it's just HDMI connected.
Wow.
It's crazy.
So, like, I've been preferring to play nearly everything. I've been playing Prey on there. I played Diablo. I've been playing Tears of the Kingdom from an emulator on my PC.
Yeah.
Which, even in the last week, emulation for that has gotten insane. Like, they increased the draw distance. Like, so far, you can see all the way across the world. They fixed almost all the graphical bugs. It is running at a perfect 60 now, which eventually they'll get it running over 60.
Huh.
Like, it's just getting better and better constantly.
How have they not been shut down?
Because it's an open source thing. There's a whole bunch of people working on it, and they're not charging for it. So even with, like, a cease and desist, like, what are they going to do? Stop everybody online?
Yeah.
It's like the Dolphin thing recently.
Which
the
Dolphin
Nintendo emulator.
I read more on that. Steam actually went to Nintendo and said, do you allow this on there? And they said no. So Steam took it down. They didn't want to deal with Nintendo either.
Actually, yeah, that's probably a good option for them.
Yeah. I mean, you can go online and download the emulator anyway. I don't know.
Yeah, they just didn't want it on their Steam page.
Yeah. Yeah, it works out.
What's this about Ratchet and Clank?
Oh, it's getting a PC release.
Ratchet
and Clank Rift Apart, the newest one.
That's what PS5 launched with, right?
They launched with that and Demon's Souls.
Yeah. Is that one with all the portals?
Yeah.
I also saw something about Demon's Souls.
Demon's Souls and Ghost of Tsushima are apparently supposed to be getting some sort of port in the near future.
There was some sort of leak for that.
I cannot wait to see how Ghost of Tsushima looks on PC. When I played that game on PlayStation 4, it was beautiful. Like, it had some of the best grass and, like...
Didn't it think your objective, whatever your objective was, the wind blew in that direction?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's like, that's like the most unique...
It was
objective pointing.
It reminded me of, like, when I first played The Witcher 3. Obviously, the game, it had the update, but it's not like it used to be. But when I first played that game years ago, I was on my horse and I would, like, pan around and look at, like, how beautiful the scenery was. That's the same. I did the same thing with Ghost of Tsushima.
No, I haven't seen that game since the new graphics update, but I tried it before that and it looked old. Like, it was actually kind of crazy. Yeah. I remember seeing that in, like, 2013. And I'm like, why does this game look so amazing?
I remember you throwing it on your 1440p monitor when you first got it. We're like, whoa.
I did have a screenshot of that, and people saw it and thought it was real life, like a real background or something. I mean, still, like, it could pass for that.
Yeah.
But, like, if you move around, you can kind of see it looks dated. But
yeah. I mean, it was ahead of its time.
Yeah. It's crazy how things change. And this, it looks like it can't get any better than this.
Yeah.
And then 10 years later, you're like, wow, this is old.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of, I don't know if you guys remember years ago when Black Ops 2, or maybe it was 1, had that intro cutscene and people were going bonkers over it, where, like, the lady was smoking. And it was animated.
Maybe. I don't remember.
Some people who... it was, like, a thing where people would, like, play it over and be like, this is crazy that it's not real life. And it still looks good today, but it's one of those things where it's, like, now...
And you look at Unreal Engine 5 footage.
Yeah,
it's like
did
ridiculous.
We talk about that one game that was released? Some footage It looks super lifelike.
Oh, unrecord.
Oh, yeah.
I think we've mentioned it.
That's crazy.
It looks like a body cam on a cop or something. I think it's the movement and the lighting that does it.
Yeah. It's insane.
Because people were analyzing it, like seeing if it was even real. And they were noticing like repeat textures on walls and stuff. So like it is a real game. Like, but it's probably rendered to look like that. I doubt it's going to run that well on other people's systems.
You don't know.
I mean, when was the last time you saw a game look that good?
I mean, the maps aren't probably huge, so it's not like...
Yeah, but it takes a lot of pre-rendering to get that good of lighting a lot of times.
I can see that, yeah.
We never really talked about Diablo, though. Diablo 4? Never really talked about it today. We just mentioned it.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know what you know about Diablo, Caleb, but it's kind of like V Rising, top-down... MMO style thing.
Mm-hmm.
Very RPG.
Yeah, and it's not grindy. That's what I don't like about a lot of MMOs is like you have to go through hundreds and hundreds of hours just to get like decent stuff.
Apparently Endgame though is very grindy.
Yeah, but that's
obviously
a lot of those
that's a whole different
you don't
story.
Have to do that. I mean there is a story. I don't really care much for it. It's okay. It's kind of just there to justify whatever.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I really enjoy it. Just playing with you, and I played on my Steam Deck. I just went through the first couple missions, and I'm already like level 6 out of like 15 minutes of playing.
So yeah,
you level up really fast, and it's relaxing.
The graphics are amazing. The optimization in it is incredible.
Yeah, it's the graphics are really good. Like I'm admiring the environments a lot, just because. You can tell it's not just a slap together environment. Like even the ground has little tiny texture details on it. It's just intricate. Like looks like it was ancient like architecture or whatever.
Huh.
Like it's so cool looking.
If it's anything like V Rising, I'd probably like it.
Yeah, I feel like you'd like
V Rising was the first like top down game, you know, aside from like the old Command and Conquer games. But like that type of what would you call it, like MMO?
I guess, yeah. Like that's like a survival MMO.
Yeah. That was the first one where actually like we played it for a bunch.
You don't have to worry about food. You don't have to worry about all these different things. And yeah,
there's
you can go in the sunlight. Which I remember in V Rising was really irritating.
V Rising, the enemies are really tanky. I remember that, like even the bosses.
Yeah.
They're not that way in Diablo. They're pretty squishy most of the time. Like we haven't had trouble with any.
Is it the same where you kind of like find a boss and kill it?
You can find elites around the world. There's like free roam stuff. There's like 115 dungeons to explore.
Wow.
The world's huge.
There's like 4 or 5 strongholds to actually liberate in each location, and there's like 7 or 8 locations. It's massive.
Yeah. It's a game where there's really zero commitment to it. You can just hop on, run a few dungeons with people, and then get off.
And you can have up to 10 characters. And so, like, I have a solo character I play by myself, and I have a character that I made with JJ. Like, you can have, like up to 10 different characters at a time and just, like, play different. And there's 5 different classes. And so there's like, hundreds of different variations within each class. It's crazy.
This is Battle.net?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, I installed Battle.net on Steam Deck yesterday. It was a weird process, but it didn't take super long.
In case you got, V Rising did get a huge content update.
And we wanted to try that.
Oh,
did the thing is, it's you need to get to end game to actually see the content though. That's the only downside. It's not like
we
it's
got
just
like halfway through the bosses, right?
Yeah. No, not even.
Well, my biggest gripe about V Rising is that it's server based. You can't just like have a world that other people join easily.
You probably can do a private world, but you have to open up like a custom server probably.
Oh, it was server based. Yeah, like Rust, right?
Yeah, so
or
like
if
we
do
lost
single
a lot of
player
cuz we don't know what server we were on.
If you
on.
Do single player, you can't play with other people. And so you can't have your own private server.
I mean, you could have a private server.
Yeah.
But you'd have to actually set up the server and all that stuff.
We weren't a huge fan of PvP in that game. So
yeah.
We actually liked like the PvE aspect of it. It's pretty good.
Yeah, and the base building. But I guess if you played just all with the co-op or whatever, base building wouldn't be as important because you don't really get raided by enemies, like PvE enemies.
I mean, even when we did, we didn't get raided by anybody.
Which
our
was
base
good,
was
though.
Huge.
No, we didn't.
Yeah. I'm kind of glad we didn't.
Yeah, actually, we built a pretty big castle.
Mm-hmm. Like, I like raiding in games, but games like that, I don't know. I wouldn't probably spend my time raiding. I'd rather just go fight enemies.
I think there was, like, a specific way of doing it, too, right? It was, like, really difficult. Like, you had to get a troll or something.
Like a golem.
Yeah.
And then you have to blow up the walls. I don't know.
And then everybody knew that if you were raiding someone's base. We wanted to raid that guy that was
next to us.
Like, right next to us, but.
Well, I like the progression in that whenever you beat an enemy, you get a really good power.
Yeah.
Like, you get the bear power or whatever, the wolf.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
Stuff like that. Like, it would actually be really meaningful when you beat a boss. It wasn't just like, oh, we beat a boss. Cool.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it felt good, and it helped you in the long run.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that game is fun. Maybe I'll set up a server if people are interested in playing, because I don't think it's
I don't know how many people hard. have the game, though. I think it's, like, 5 or 6 people that have it, maybe. Hmm. So it just depends on if everybody wants to play it. But we're into Diablo right now, so I don't know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Diablo. I'm still into Tears of the Kingdom and Prey, so.
I might start Prey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would love to cover Prey.
I was telling Chug this before, but after beating Jedi Survivor, there's, like, a void now where I'm, like, wanting some sort of single-player experience.
All right, speaking of Star Wars for a second, apparently the KOTOR remake is still being developed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, people were saying, people thought for a while that it was stopped development.
What's that one?
KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic.
Mm. Oh.
Like it, the game I from 2001.
Yeah, yeah.
That was like one of our favorite Star Wars games. Mm. It's ridiculous.
It's such a good game.
Huh.
The story is really fun.
Yeah, apparently it's still in development, so.
Wait, that's the one with like the crazy cutscenes, right?
No,
that's Old Republic.
The Old Republic.
Oh, with the bald dude.
Yeah,
that's the MMO.
Knights of the Old Republic was the huge world where choices matter. You can be dark side or light side. You can be kind of like a bounty hunter or a Jedi or whatever.
I think
you want.
I started one of those games.
Yeah, and it's like
you started in the academy, right, or whatever.
No, that's Jedi.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I played that one.
But the story is really good. There's some good twists. There's so many different ways you can play it and approach levels. Huh. It was definitely ahead of its time.
There's a full system with companions.
Yeah.
And each person has different abilities. You can equip like full armor, full all these different weapons.
The UI and stuff was a bit clunky.
Yeah.
And it was a little hard to get into because of that. But once you get over that, the game... it's just amazing.
We actually played the whole thing on our tablets.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's actually better on tablets. It was a little easier to control on there, I think.
Well, they updated the UI a little bit for the tablets. Mm. So,
but man, if they do well with this remake, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah. I would probably play it.
Oh, yeah. System Shock remake. I played that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I want to play that. Ooh, I don't know what I want to play. I already installed it on my PC. System Shock or Prey.
I'm doing Prey right now. I'm not gonna play System Shock for a bit.
I might play System Shock. If I want to take a break from Diablo, because right now I'm focused on Diablo. So
I want to play Diablo mostly with you.
Yeah,
I might play my Steam Deck a little bit, but if I'm gonna be playing on the TV. I'll probably play with you, and then I'll play either Prey or Tears of the Kingdom because that game is really fun. It doesn't feel like a typical single player game. It's more of like sandbox, like do whatever you want kind of thing.
What game?
Tears of the Kingdom.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
it's not like Prey where there's a story and like you're curious to find out more. I never cared for the story in the first Breath of the Wild.
I don't know what it is, but it, like I watch Ben's always playing it on the TV at his house, and whenever I'm there, like I'm like forced to watch him, but it's just so boring. Like maybe it's because I'm not playing myself, but like I see him just like for 30 minutes making like the weirdest little like wheel with like a but he's like making a little contraption and it's like 30 minutes I'm sitting here watching him like build it. I'm like, this is so boring. Can you fight Ganon or something?
I mean, that is an aspect of it, and I do mess around with it sometimes, but he likes building games a lot, so he spends extra time on that.
Yeah, that's true.
And I remember you made the first game look boring because you would just do the same stuff every time. You do like little glitches.
Shield surfing and all these.
I just want
things.
Him to go talk to the fairies.
No, I hate the fairies.
I mean, to be honest though, when he went to the place with the
shop,
the place with the women, the town.
Oh yeah.
Like, I don't know what I was sitting on the table, and he was playing the game, And I just heard.
That's the Japanese.
It's like
coming through.
Very weird. Like if you don't see what's happening, it's weird. Take it out of context.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. It's very different when you play it. Chug also thought the same thing. Like, I don't know, it looks so boring when Ben plays it. But then you played Breath of the Wild and you enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. I beat all the shrines and I'm like, eh, I don't want to do anything else.
I never beat all the shrines, though.
Oh.
Like, I don't think I ever did that. Like, you played it more than me in that regard.
I mean, I beat the beasts and then did all the shrines and I just wasn't interested in playing past that. Same thing with Tears of the Kingdom, though. Like, I didn't beat any of the shrines. I think I beat like 10 of the shrines. Mm. I'm just not interested in it.
Huh.
I tried it. It's just, I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like if I were to play a Zelda game, it'd have to be like linear.
Yeah. I mean,
Link's Awakening.
I played Zelda on the Wii. What was it? Shadows or something. And that was an excellent game, huh? What was it?
Is it the Hey, Look, Listen one?
It was a darker Zelda game, and it was amazing.
Mm.
But it was linear.
I like games when it feels like you shouldn't be in that location. Like, it's hard to explain. Like Noita, it feels like you shouldn't be doing what you're doing. It's like you're kind of exploiting the world's mechanics or whatever. And that's the way it feels with Zelda a lot of times. Like, it feels like everything's like doesn't want you to be there.
Huh.
And you have to kind of just like overcome whatever that challenge is.
Huh.
And to me, that's pretty exciting and enjoyable. That's why I played Noita for so long, because like there's so much you can do that's just there, but you have to actually like know how to exploit some things to do it.
Mm.
It's really hard to explain, but I normally don't like open worlds where like you just wander and explore, especially Ubisoft open worlds.
Mm.
Like, I've gotten so tired of those. But these, like the Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom worlds, they feel different in that they're not just like copy paste towers, things to go fight or whatever. It's like it's gonna be different every time you're out there.
Mm.
And it's, I don't know, it just feels different to me.
Yeah, it's so hard for me to find like an open world game that gives me like Jedi Survivor was like the perfect mix.
Mm-hmm.
I
mean, I didn't even play the open world stuff in a lot in that. I know Chuck
I didn't either, actually.
I played all of it.
Which I somewhat regret, but I was also somewhat of on a time crunch when we were doing a podcast on it. But I don't
really regret that. I had fun with the main story and I fought all the bounty hunters.
I think I probably would have done more if like we talked about this last podcast, but just like a variety of worlds.
Mm-hmm.
There's like three main ones or whatever. But
and two of them are deserts.
Oh, yeah. So next week on Thursday. We're still working out the details, but we actually, when this goes out, if you're watching live next week on Thursday, June 8th, if you're watching this when it goes out
on Wednesday,
so basically Thursday, June 8th, we're working out the details on streaming the Summer Game Fest.
So. One thing I'm hoping for.
Bloodborne.
What?
Bloodborne.
You think
PC. People thought that it was going to be shown off on the PlayStation Showcase.
I think it would be if it were. I don't think it would be in this one. It would most likely be PlayStation.
I'm not even sure what they can show off. Like, I don't even know what I'm expecting.
I just want to see. I don't even care if it's PC. I want it to be updated. That's what people want. As long as it's updated, that means there's a potential PC port in the future.
I just want to see
Bloodborne.
Like, what else are we waiting for?
Bloodborne.
Right now?
Bloodborne.
Yeah,
that's it.
GTA 6 is not gonna be for another 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, what else?
It's Elder Scrolls 6. That's also not gonna be for another 10 years.
I guess there's Starfield. I'm waiting to see how that goes.
Starfield.
I'm not anticipating.
Is that
it.
The big one?
Yeah, it's like
the GoFundMe
one. No, that's
Skyrim. No Man's Sky.
You're thinking of Star Citizen.
Oh.
But yeah, it's kind of like Skyrim. No Man's Sky, like Chuck said.
Mm.
It's procedurally generated worlds, though. I'm like, I don't know.
You played Sons of the Forest, Casey?
Game's
that,
crazy.
That game is crazy.
Yeah, it is.
I'm so excited for the full release because I know they're making a lot of really big changes to things.
They already did make a lot of changes. Like, added bosses and all sorts of stuff.
The thing is, it's going to be completely different. Like, we already beat the game. What was it, like, the second week it was out?
Something like that, yeah.
Which is kind of crazy because it didn't feel bare bones, but compared to what the full release is going to be, it's kind of bare bones.
Yeah. It's gonna be totally different. Like, there wasn't even an end boss.
Yeah.
Now there is.
And The end boss now, I've actually seen it. It's not really crazy. It's just, it's not like the last game's end boss. Mm. They may still add another boss later on. Mm-hmm. I feel like the one now is a placeholder or something.
They probably could, they're probably going to update him, the end boss, to be different too. So
yeah, and they did change the story slightly in the final release of the last
game. Oh, okay.
So, they probably will change the story slightly.
They might add more to it. I don't know.
I mean, when we play, next time we play, it's going to be like literally completely different.
It is.
I mean, locations of everything.
Yeah, I was really happy with the ending, even with the early access. Like, it was crazy and left you with a lot of questions.
Yeah. It definitely expanded the universe too.
And they've added a bunch of really interesting stuff, like videotapes of people on the island. Huh. And I've seen some of those, and they leave you with even more questions, like more mysterious stuff.
Hmm.
So I don't know. I'm really excited for it. And I was really happy with even just the early access.
Yeah.
They've added log carts and all that.
Oh, yeah, log sleds. And then the large log sled. They added different variations of it, yeah.
They have, like, a unicycle now, electric unicycle.
I think I saw Ben riding that. It's Goofy.
Goofy.
But I heard it's fun.
You guys want to get into
Outlast Trials?
Outlast?
Yeah. Let's do it. So, this game is very much different. Well, it's a different...
It is.
It's a different approach than the first two games.
Yeah.
First two games... In my opinion, the first game is probably the scariest or one of the scary. Trove 2? Crazy? What?
Oh, wow.
Anyway, the first... He's always got to bring up Trove 2. Anyway, the first game is probably the scariest like horror game I've played.
I think so. Soma is a close second, at least for the...
That's
for a
different reason. Yeah.
But, yeah, LS1 was like the pinnacle of horror for a long time, and it kind of still is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 2 was still good. It was weird.
It was very weird.
Yeah. But
a lot of odd things.
And there were some things that were annoying.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, this game can get weird too, though.
Well, it can.
Yeah, this game's...
Well, you only played the first program.
You told me
and
about
then one of the smaller missions in the second program.
It's funny. The when the game first came out, I was looking at the reviews, and they're all positive. I think the game is...
It was overwhelmingly when it first came out.
It's very positive now.
But it's very positive, so...
All the reviews were like, great game for kids. Which, it's like, it's one of the most violent games ever, I think.
If you played the intro, I don't know if you played the intro.
Yeah, with the drilling your head or whatever.
Hand?
No, your head.
No, that's not the intro. Oh. The intro is the tutorial.
No,
basically,
I skipped that.
I think you played it, right?
No, I didn't. I skipped it.
Basically, that one lady with the doll,
yeah,
the drill doll. You have to like grind up your personal files or whatever in this grinder. But before you even get to it, this lady like drags this dude over to the grinder, drills his head, and throws him into the grinder. And she's like, in the tutorial of the game, it's like, oh my.
Casey said Amnesia games.
Isn't
there a new one? The Bunker or something?
It comes out this week, I think.
Oh, seriously?
Well, Sierra said she was watching somebody play it on YouTube, so they probably have early access.
Yeah, they do.
Oh.
The Amnesia the Bunker comes out this week.
We might have to play that then.
We could save it for Halloween.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Because I've been actually meaning to play the first Amnesia game. So we played the second one. Oh, we played Rebirth.
There's the first
Machine
one, which is the Dark Descent, and then there's Machine for Pigs. Then we played it. Amnesia was the newest one.
Wait, actually played Machine for Pigs.
Is that the one you played? You said you played one of them.
I didn't beat it.
Hmm.
But I played quite a bit of it, actually.
What was the newest one? Amnesia Before the Bunker. The one we played?
Rebirth.
Rebirth, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That one was kind of mid.
Oh, yeah. That was an okay game.
Yeah.
My ending I got on that was...
Oh, yeah. You got the bad one.
Yeah, I think Amnesia 1, The Dark Descent, is considered one of the scariest games.
Along with Outlast 1.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we've never played the first Amnesia, so...
Yeah, Outlast 2 is... It was scary. A little... at least for a little bit. You, me, and Ricky played that.
We did an all-nighter.
Yeah. And the way Ricky played was annoying.
Yeah, he kept doing the same thing.
But some of the enemies were so repeated, like over and over again, they lost the scare factor.
Mm. I'm wondering if the game would have been scarier if we played it alone.
I played it alone.
Oh, you beat it?
What?
LS2?
Yeah.
Oh.
We did a podcast.
Oh,
did we? Yeah. Huh. I think the Outlast Trials has the same issue of overexposure to the enemies. Because when we were playing that one mission, where there were like a dozen of them around, it was ridiculous. It lost all scariness. We were just trying to survive.
It was
survive.
Just like, yeah. It was madness.
This
like,
game, yeah. I would say Outlast Trials is not very scary. Maybe if we use the in-game voice chat, it would be scarier. But
the first time Caleb and I played it, though, we played the there was only like one or two people that were walking around. That it I was, feel like it was pretty scary.
There are a lot of disturbing parts, like those guys with the microphone and it distorts when they scream. That like is pretty horrifying if you think about it. But
well, you joined in somewhat late game though. So well, let's just explain real quick for those who don't know. The game is set up basically. Poor people are brought into, what is it called? The Markov
Corporation.
Yeah. And they're basically they're brought in and they're experimented on. They do a bunch of stuff to you. And then there's a hub area where you get to kind of run around. You have your own little room.
You can
basically a prison.
You can arm wrestle with people.
You can.
Which is really fun.
Yeah. You can buy upgrades and all that. And then you go and you select a trial and you go into one of the trials. The trials basically have an objective. You do the objective, and then you come back to your base alive or even dead.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think they revive you.
You don't get anything, though.
Yeah,
like F
because
rating
they,
or something.
Like when we died, me and you died on one of them,
mm-hmm.
and the guy was like, I restarted your heart
or
whatever.
Huh.
Yeah.
And then you can get upgrades, like a rig, and they have different abilities. The one I did was an X-ray thing where you can see enemies through walls. You can see items. But they get better as you upgrade them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I chose that one mainly because there's an upgrade where you can have everybody in your party see enemies and items through walls.
That's going to be so nice when we get that.
Yeah, because a lot of times you're running around, you're like, I can't find health anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I would use the ability and we'd all see where the health or like healing stuff is.
Each of the trials have certain levels to them. I think it's like 4. So there's... Each of the trials are essentially maps with different enemies. And then each of those trials have the first trial, which is one objective, the next one, the next one, and the next one. And they progressively get harder. You joined in, Jay, when me and Chug already had our rig and we had some like upgrades already.
Mm-hmm.
So I think like what the enemies were like almost doubled or something. Items were limited.
I think so. Yeah, there was more enemies. There was more traps, more boarded doors. Which means like louder.
Yeah.
You have to be more careful with stuff.
I think the one issue. So like, first of all, I want to say that this game, I enjoyed a lot. Like it's super fun. But the one issue that we had when we were all playing is that it becomes less scary because what we were doing is like one of us would get down. Then we would just run around for like 5 minutes, hopefully get the chance to revive that person. But then the next person would get down and it was like an endless cycle.
Yeah. This particular mission. There is one big room where we had to keep activating a button and you had to hold it for maybe 30 seconds and then like bring up some of the bar. But the issue I had with it is that enemies know what you're doing when you do it. Like you start activating it, every enemy starts converging on the room.
Even if like let's say Caleb and I were running around trying to keep the people away from the room so someone else can activate it. As soon as the person starts activating it, they just leave you and go towards the room.
That was
annoying. And then you try to get the people to come back, but you can't get them. Even if you throw bottles at them and stuff, it's just like insane.
I think that's one. That's probably my main issue is that the NPCs are too aware of what's happening.
Yeah, at least in the other LS games, maybe the first one, they were just doing their own thing. And if they heard you or saw you, they'd chase you.
Mm-hmm.
In this game, I'll hide in a locker. The enemy's not even in the room. He'll walk in the room and look in the locker immediately. Yeah. Like, how do you know I'm even in there? I don't know how you're supposed to avoid that at all.
There was one, I think it was like the circus map with all the hay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I might have found one healing item.
Oh, yeah.
So there's the items that they give you in the map are there's a healing potion.
There's multiple healing potions.
Yeah, there's the psychotic one.
The puff.
Yeah, so you have 3 bars of psychosis or whatever. If you lose them, then you start losing your mind, and then this What are they
called? Skinner Man.
The Skinner Man comes after you and takes all your health.
You basically makes you one shot. You can't actually die from it. You just are one shot.
You can actually regain your psychosis if you run away long enough and not lose health. Mm-hmm. If you run away from him.
The Zaza.
Yeah, that's what we call it. But there's like that. There's that healing potion. So you need to make sure you have healing. That there are lock picks.
There's an adrenaline stick. Which adrenaline, is actually really nice.
It actually was helpful when I used it.
Especially if there's a lot of enemies.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is basically you have to manage like multiple different aspects of your health.
Your stamina bar is also totally invisible, so you don't even know how much you have left.
Yeah.
So plus there's the nurse lady who can sell you different upgrades, like a slide or
an extra
if you sprint at the door. It'll actually just break the boards instead of you having to like bash it. Mm. I maxed out the first section of it and I saw the second section. Max or increase stamina. Mm. Have one more inventory slot.
Oh, that's
like
nice.
All these different things, like extra stamina that and then you use less stamina when you run. Like it's crazy. Yeah.
That sounds really nice. Cause I was running out of stamina very easily. And that was frustrating because your character goes 2 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And the enemies are really fast. Like unbelievably fast sometimes. Even when you're sprinting, they'll still catch you.
Yeah.
I know me personally, games where you can't fight back at all frustrate me a lot. Yeah.
Like, you can fight back in this with bottles and
can a little bit.
Like even in the first Outlast, the game is terrifying. Mainly because you couldn't fight back. But most games I can't tolerate that. It's like, dude, just like throw something at him and stop him.
Yeah.
But in this one, you can throw bottles. You can get a stun thing like your rig has.
Mm-hmm. You can get upgrades that lets you kick off enemies from your friends or stop people from executing them.
Yeah.
Whenever I saw a brick or a bottle, I always tried to pick it up because it's so helpful for stopping them.
And that revive syringe.
That is helpful.
The revive syringe is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Just the problem that I had with the items is like, for instance, that one map, I kept getting the psychosis healing potion, but I never found any actual healing. And I think there is a bottleneck where I think the game purposely limits the vital items that you need. And then it just becomes frustrating because you're running around one hit and you can't find any healing.
Yeah, that's why I like my rig.
Yeah, that is really helpful.
Like I basically it's like an AoE healing and you get everybody in a group together and you just do the AoE healing and it heals everybody to max
health. I think the game would be super hard if you were playing it solo.
It seems to me like there's like mid to end game balance issues with that where you kind of have to rely on your abilities, but in order to get those abilities you have to just plod through the annoyance for a while.
You didn't play the first mission though. The first mission wasn't annoying. It was like it was actually very fair. They gave you a lot of items. There was not many enemies.
First mission on the easiest difficulty, though.
What?
Yeah, you played on the second difficulty.
No, he played on the third difficulty.
We played three missions, as far as I remember. The first two were really fun. No, actually, the second one was the really difficult one. The first and the last one, I didn't have issues with, and I had a lot of fun. But the one we played the higher difficulty on, I don't know what they were doing there. Like, we used every item.
That was level three. So basically,
I don't even know if we were ready yet.
What Caleb and I did. So in each of the programs, there's a total of four sections. So the first section is the baseline easiest thing. And Caleb and I played the first mission in all three of the programs. So basically, we unlocked the second section to each of the programs, which there are two small missions you do for each of the programs. We played those two small missions, and then we did the level three difficulty mission. That was the harder version of the first mission we completed.
Mm.
So what Caleb and I played was the easiest thing, and then you joined in with basically nothing on a really difficult mission.
Are you supposed to play like one tracked or whatever in order completely before
going to
the next?
You don't necessarily have to.
But are you supposed to?
You can.
You can do whatever you want.
Well, they open it up to allow you to do whatever.
To me, I mean, so Murkoff Corporation is all into the mind control stuff in all the Outlast games. In the game Far Cry 5, there's a whole section on mind control. And you do this thing where they make you play a mission over and over and over again. The same mission with like slightly different like results or whatever, but they actually trick you into doing like a mind control thing. Like they, you end up killing a main character, and like you're just fully on. You're aware of it too, but you're so like desensitized, and you're just like mind controlled almost.
Huh.
I wonder if you're supposed to play these missions like over and over and over again, in order, so it's like easier as it goes on.
Oh, maybe
you kind of learn it, and you're like, well, go here, boom, 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 and like you have to deal with a little bit more people, but
like the rat experiments.
Yeah, like after doing it a whole bunch of times, you're like, well, we just got through it, like onto the next one. Because I don't know, we jumped around to different missions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was going to mention, I mentioned earlier about the escape tokens.
Oh, yeah. How do you get those?
So, I didn't know this, but if you complete a program, that means not getting in, or you getting a, at least like a D minus, I think. I think it's a D or a D minus. I don't know if D minus even exists, but basically, if you get at least a D on every single mission in one single program, you get one token.
Oh,
and then once you complete the program, it resets and you can go through it again. And so basically you got to complete the program, like each program, like once, and that's three tokens. So basically that you choose which one you want to do again, you complete the program again and you get another token, and then you get 10 total tokens. You basically,
that's a lot.
You can complete the final program.
I feel like that's a lot.
It is a lot. How many main missions are there?
There's three missions per program, but there's five.
So five programs? So technically...
No, there's five. There's three programs.
Oh. So
three missions per program, and two of them are unique. One of them is repeated three times, but on higher difficulties.
So that means you have to complete each of the programs three full times, and then one of them actually four times.
Yes.
That is a lot.
But the thing is, as the game progresses, they're going to add more programs.
Yeah.
So basically, you don't have to like repeat a program. The thing is, it's early access right now. So
what's the roadmap like, though?
I don't know, but apparently they're gonna add I think they're gonna add 10 programs. That's what their goal is.
Oh wow, that would be better because you wouldn't have to replay them.
Well, you still have to.
I mean, you have to replay at a higher difficulty, but I wouldn't want to replay from the easy to the hard difficulty.
Well, I don't know if it resets it or if you have to just like beat the final mission again. I'm not 100% sure how it works, but
like, yeah, I don't know.
That is interesting. I feel like that's kind of a grind almost.
It is a grind, yeah. But I mean, I'd say doing that basically gets you all the upgrades.
I think
pretty much. I mean, I wouldn't say you're OP when you have all the upgrades, but it definitely
the upgrades would be easier. Are very helpful. Especially to the rig and your character.
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing that the game does really well is like, we talk about this a lot. Like when we talk about Last of Us or, you know, games similar, it's like, there's a scarcity to your supplies, which means that you have to think through everything you do. Like sometimes I'll remember locations of healing if I don't need it at the moment, and I'll manage my little three inventory things. So I have one healing, one brick if I need to like distract an enemy or hit him, and then one of those like permanent revives or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that element of it where you have to like remember locations of items and then kind of like work your way through and or think your way through and remember the items you have. And I kind of like that part of it.
I know for me, I usually fill my inventory with whatever I need at the moment. Like, and I try to remember where the other ones were, although some people might grab those ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But let's say like the psychosis guy comes out, I'm probably going to have like at least two of the Zaza things. I don't even know what they're called.
I usually keep one of each item.
It helps.
I keep a syringe, I keep a Zaza, and then I usually have like a brick or a...
I never kept a syringe near me because you can find those really easily.
Yeah, that is
like,
true.
Like you can find them on the wall.
What was that?
That was weird. Oh, my phone fell off.
Nice.
Like, I used the psychosis thing. I got my psychosis down. And then someone else needed it, so I gave them the one I had.
Mm.
Like, kind of you think of whatever's happening.
Well, that one extra inventory slot's probably pretty helpful.
Oh,
though.
I bet.
Yeah.
Like, if there's a lot of enemies, I'll probably grab health. Because if there's no psychosis guy, I don't need the psychosis thing. I usually try to fill
up... That's not necessarily true. Sometimes the traps in the mines.
Oh, they spray.
Yeah, but usually if you haven't picked them up previously, they're all over the place, so you can go find them. Yeah. And I've never been hit by any of those traps. I've only been hit by the guy when he grabs you.
I've been hit by the stupid... Like, you open up a med cabinet, and it just shoots psychosis spray at you. Yeah. It's annoying.
Well, it's weird, because I usually open it up and move to the side, because it's delayed, so it doesn't always hit me. It doesn't usually hit me at all.
Well, I'm usually open it up, and I look in, I'm like, oh, what's in here? And it just sprays you in the face. I'm like,
yeah. Bleh. For batteries, I usually use them as soon as I find them, because I usually have a bunch of battery depleted.
Mm-hmm.
I've had times where I had like 3 batteries in my inventory because I couldn't find anything else.
Yeah.
And it was just, I had full thing.
And you don't need to use the flashlight either, or the, not flashlight.
Oh, yeah.
Night vision?
Night vision.
Lockpicks, sometimes I have a lot of those and I don't even know what to pick with them.
I can't find anything. Yeah, the locks are pretty scarce. There's not many of them.
What else is there? Oh, there's a recharge for your rig. I actually have never even used my
rig. Used that a couple times.
That one's very valuable. I think it's because you got your rig a little later.
Yeah, and I forgot about it in the mission because, I mean, I knew where the enemies were.
Healing rig with the thing that, like, refills it is super helpful with my health one.
Yours is nice.
Because if it's not, like, regened or anything, we're all pretty much screwed. And so that thing actually saved us a bunch of times.
And I also got the slow life refill or whatever, life regen, because that's pretty helpful.
Yeah. What is it? My health rig, later on I can get an upgrade that it cures psychosis.
Mm. Ooh.
So like if anybody's like needing psychosis and they can't find a Zaza, then you can just run up to me and I can do it.
Huh. I was just thinking,
it's like, funny we're calling it Zaza.
Well, it's like this green gas stuff.
So yeah, it's funny.
I was just thinking that the gameplay is almost like identical to the Outlast, like 1 and 2, aside from the NPCs being too aware.
Yeah,
but like you can like hide in the lockers. There's like
there weren't many items to find in the Outlast games except for batteries.
Yeah, it was mainly just batteries, I think.
And maybe health. I don't know.
There were papers, but you can find evidence papers around each map, and it's not like one person picks it up, everyone gets it. All of you have to pick it up.
Yeah.
But
I don't remember how health worked in the Outlast games.
I don't know if you had to get health.
Well, because the enemies would.
I think it regened pretty quickly.
You had a couple of hits before you died. It wasn't many.
I think your health regened pretty quickly. So
I guess it was just batteries that were scarce.
I'm actually curious. I don't know. Well, the game's in early access now, but I'm not sure how the story of this game ties into the other two, because there are a lot of documents and there's a lot of information just hidden around the map. So I'm curious to see what happens with the story.
When you load into a level, the CEO of Murkoff or whatever talks to you. One of the things he said was when you're released, it'll be into a world just like you or something. I'm guessing they're trying to mind control the entire world.
Mm.
They also in the games they were doing mind control and like closed experiments, and I'm guessing that's probably what they want to do eventually. Try
this
to control
is a prequel,
everything.
Though, isn't it? Because this is in the this is during the Cold War.
I think so. Yeah, it's a prequel.
So
this is when they were basically starting their experiments.
Yeah.
Huh. Wait. When do the games take place? At least the first one is more modern.
The second one is
What's up, Melon?
The second one is I thought it was like during the same time as the first one, or like slightly or a little bit after.
Late 90s?
It was after, because you get an email, right, from him or something? The first guy in the first game or something like that.
And the first one, you don't have a cell phone. But you have that camcorder. So it's probably like early 2000s, if not 90s. Probably early 2000s is my guess. It was a night vision camera, right? That's how you saw it?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember anything else about newer technology, so probably. I'm actually curious now. I want to see when.
I mean, people didn't really know about this asylum, so it's like.
Yeah.
It was before most people had cell phones and everything, so it was probably late 90s, early 2000s.
Oh, it takes place in 2010.
Oh,
LS1?
Yeah. Let's see. When's LS2? Let's see.
Because I'm pretty sure Outlast Trials takes place in the Cold War. Or during the Cold War. Mm. Cold War.
So that's easy to see. Northern Arizona. I think, let me see. I think people are kind of iffy on it.
Hmm. Well, I mean, they probably don't modern, give exact though. Dates.
In oh, the wait. Game. Someone says 2013 is the start of the Whistleblower DLC. So it might oh. still have been 2010. I don't know. People are still iffy on it. They don't really know.
Wait, Whistleblower.
The DLC.
That's the DLC for one.
Which also took place simultaneously to yeah. the main story.
That so, DLC was good.
Some people are saying 2013 for the first game. Huh. Some people are saying 2010. Let's see. 2 weeks after. Okay, so the second game takes place 2 weeks after the first game.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
So huh. it's pretty close.
Hmm.
And that was like a, so that was when the Murkoff Corporation had that small town mind controlled, right?
Yeah.
Or like some, or messed up or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Trials is the Cold War.
Yeah. So it's a prequel, but there's still a lot of documents and a ton of information packed into those levels.
Yeah.
I hope there's some like cool reveals in Outlast Trials, because the other games had that too. Even though you kind of knew what was going on after the first game. It's still interesting because
mm-hmm.
I hope that since it's a prequel and you already know what's going to happen in the future, there's still something big that happens.
The thing I'm excited for is we have 3 trials right now. If they're planning on adding 10, that's going to be a ton of information that they and a ton of lore that they mm-hmm. can put into there.
And I hope they don't reuse the same enemies.
Yeah.
Like they can reuse the same psychosis guy. They can reuse the same like annoying lady that walks around with a stupid pipe. They can use they
all of those had different enemies though, as far as I remember.
The third yeah, but they reused the like almost all of them.
The third mission had the same lady from the
second one.
Oh, the one huh. the lady with the drill.
Yeah,
so but the third one was out there.
Huh. Yeah, I haven't that played
one. I don't even know.
It was just more stuff. More stuff.
It was like shock that. Value to the.
It was actually kind of gross too.
Yeah,
you know, I think that's what this game mainly is, rather than horror. I mean, a lot of horror is just shock value. This game isn't going to like keep you up at night or make you scared to play it.
Yeah,
it's not like Outlast 1 where you're like, I don't want to go in this room. There's a dude in there. It's more like, oh, there's 18 guys in the next room. I got to figure out how to get by them.
It's more of like solving the objective. Like you're
and working you're together with the other people.
I think I'm too busy on. Managing my inventory, figuring out what the next objective is, and the enemies are just in my way. Like, rather than, like, I need to, you know, in the first Outlast game, that, like, the fat guy, he was just kind of roaming, and, like, he would be there sometimes, and he wouldn't.
I mean, I'd say it is pretty balanced with the upgrades you can get, though.
I don't feel, maybe we need to coordinate more, but I don't really feel the obligation to sneak around as much.
Oh, like, no.
Go hide in the locker and wait for him to pass.
I haven't done that unless I'm really low on health and I'm about to die.
I'd rather just kind of, I actually found that you can walk slowly. If you don't sprint, you might be fine, but you can just walk slowly by them and they won't see you.
Also aggroing some people will actually like take it off of other people too. So it's like if another person needs help, you just aggro them, move them away, and then that person can just kind of reset.
There's a clip where I was crouching. An enemy literally ran right by me, like literally touching me, and then went through the door. Like, I don't know what he was going after at that moment, but the AI is a little bit stupid sometimes and sometimes too smart.
I feel like they're going to update the AI at some point, though.
I think what might not have translated is that there are now multiple people and they probably have a set path that they're going on, but it's hard to like, because like the first game, it was only one person, so it was easier to manage, but I'm not sure the AI translated all that well.
Mm-hmm.
It's still pretty good. I mean, the game is really fun.
I am glad that it's not another Dead by Daylight type where one person is the monster or whatever.
Yeah, it's been done so much.
What is it KZ said before? He said, have you seen the Texas Chainsaw Massacre game?
Is it Dead by Daylight?
It's by the same people who did the Friday the 13th game where one person's the killer, four people, and then you have to try to do these objectives.
I feel like that's just copy and paste.
I don't like those games, KZ.
We need something new. Like, if they're going to do a genre similar to that, they need to, like, revitalize it in some different way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, LS Trials feels live service.
Does it feel like Batman?
Yeah, it feels like Batman. Makes you feel like Batman when playing. It feels sort of live service-ish, but not at the same time.
It's so polished, though.
It is very polished. The game looks amazing, and it runs perfect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like it's the type of game that's just going to die because they rely on microtransactions to keep it alive.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a paid game. Are there even microtransactions?
Not right now.
No, not yet. I don't know if they're going to.
The cosmetics are really lame, I got to say.
Because
you can buy like packs with the in-game money.
I do like how you can buy, or like with the in-game money, you can customize your room, like paint the walls.
Oh, and yeah.
Your little cell.
Well, I was going to mention before, it's like you said something about how it's like live service or whatever. The thing is, I still have more hours in Outlast Trials than I do in both Outlast 1 and 2 combined. I have about 8 hours, and I think it took me about, I think it was like 6 or 7 to beat both Outlast 1 and 2. Plus, it's the Outlast 1 DLC. So I have more hours in Outlast Trials than I do with than the first two games.
I do want to play it more. I only played it for a few hours when we played.
Like, we've made it clear, like, some of our dislikes in the game. Like, obviously, there was one time where all the enemies were converging in one spot, the exit zone. I don't like how they do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're trying to leave and they're all there.
Oh, yeah. We all
and
died.
You have to wait.
Died.
Literally, both, like, you have to wait like 30 seconds before the thing opens, too. And everyone's.
And you have
just
a timer to get there. So it's like they were like, all right, how do we make this the most annoying exit process possible?
Wait, remember that, the save? I think you were running around like crazy, running away from people. You were dead. And I was like at the door and I clicked it and I ran back. I think either I did or you revived Caleb and we all ran to the exit.
That was crazy.
We were concerned, like, even at the announcement of this game, like, we didn't know how they were going to do it, if they're going to make it scary enough. And it's not super scary, but it is enjoyable. And I had fun with it and I'm excited to play it more.
I actually signed up for the testing back in October.
Hmm.
I never got a chance to play it because I'm pretty sure it came out when we were in Vermont.
Huh.
But basically, I had signed up for it and I had gotten in and I had it installed on my computer, but I just never got a chance to try it.
I never had seen gameplay of it previously.
Yeah, I only saw trailers.
Is it not allowed to be publicized or anything?
I'm not sure.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to talk about all the bad things, but it is an extremely fun game to play with friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we'll continue to play it. We've already played a bunch. Like, what are we at? Like, how many hours are we at? 15?
I think around 8, maybe.
Oh, okay.
For us two, and then three or four.
Yeah. And I still want to go back and play more, even though there are only 3 levels currently.
I want to get some upgrades and then see how the higher difficulties
are. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I do like the leveling up system. Like, you can upgrade your rig and your abilities, but it's not to the point where, like, you can go in and kind of just breeze through. You still have to, you know, be careful and strategize your way through.
Yeah. Plus, I'm sure they're going to polish it and get feedback and stuff because these devs have been pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
The games were always optimized. Even though we weren't the biggest fan of the second game, like, you can appreciate what it is.
Yeah.
But the first game is just amazing. Same with the DLC.
It is kind of weird. Like, I remember when it was first announced, we were kind of like scared because this is way different than their original formula.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely different.
Because we always thought about how it was single player and how are you going to make typically a single player game multiplayer and keep that same scariness.
Mm-hmm.
But they have the same spirit, I guess.
It's not scary.
Not
it's
really,
just,
no. Because, like,
it's an Outlast game still. Mm-hmm. You can still tell based on the look of it and, like, the in-game lore. And I don't know. It's fun. With friends, things are less scary anyway. I wonder if playing this by yourself or with randoms would be scarier.
Well, you mentioned something about it being solo before, Caleb. I don't know how you beat that electricity part solo.
You can't play it solo, though.
You can.
Yeah. I don't know how you do that.
I think it would be easier in some cases because everyone aggro enemies on their own time. Like, they're all off doing something, aggroing them. You can't control enemies as well with 3 people unless you really coordinate.
I'm talking about the electricity part
where you had to pull down the lever.
You had to do the lever, and whenever you do that, it attracts all the enemies there.
But it would
like,
be
what do you
slow
do?
So maybe you could put, can you put traps down?
No.
Maybe close all the doors, do it for a little bit, and then run and hide, lose them all, then go back and do it. It would take longer, but you could control the enemies a bit more.
That'd be crazy. Maybe the enemies are limited. Maybe it adjusts based on how many people
there are. That would make sense.
Plus, our record is like 6 or 7-0 for deaths. We haven't died on one yet.
I died.
No. We completed it, so it actually activated it. You didn't get it. You didn't get a...
We got F rating on there.
You guys did.
Yeah.
But I got out, and it counted as a win.
So if we all die, then it counts as a win. Okay.
We all have clean records.
Kind of curious. I wonder... I'm not sure if I would have preferred a single player or this. I'm kind of happy with this one.
Yeah.
Like, if they did an Outlast 3 single player. Like, I think either way, I'd be happy with it, but I'm happy to see that they're trying something different and succeeding with it. Because it was like Redfall, because the devs of Redfall, they never did a game like that before.
Yeah, that
is true. And
then
when they did it, it turned out terrible.
The closest, that's kind of their fault. The closest thing to a multiplayer experience they did was in Deathloop. They had the basically someone would take the, like, if you did the multiplayer part of it, you'd go into each world and someone would actually invade you as the girl. And they'd try to kill you.
I'm about to explode.
No.
Oh my.
I don't know why. Maybe coffee.
Did you go to the bathroom before?
I did, but like it just hit me. I've been sitting there like
dying. It's like that one podcast where you were like,
oh, I needed the poop so bad.
What was it? It was like, you answered your own question. You're like, oh, yeah. You're like, all right, is that it? Yeah, I think that's, or something like that. And you like answer your own question. Then
yeah, pretty much.
Try to end the podcast. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I mean
the future of the game.
I mean, they're going to add, what, 10?
I think that's their goal, is to add 10 trials so you can get 10 tokens so you don't have to replay any of them. I just hope that they add new enemies.
Has anyone gotten to the door yet?
Yeah.
Oh. Did you see what it is?
I didn't see what it was. I didn't watch like the ending stuff. All I know is that it's solo.
Oh.
So like you play it by yourself. And apparently there's some sort of thing that like allows you to go back in to the thing. You still have your upgrades after and stuff.
Huh.
I'm not 100% sure how it works, but
it sounds like I don't know. What is it, like tokens to freedom or something? Obviously,
yeah, it's definitely like we even said this when we were in it before. We're like, yeah, this is definitely like fake. They're not gonna let you go.
Yeah.
They're not gonna let people like go out and tell people about all these bad experiments they're doing to people. They're not going to let them go.
Yeah.
There's no way. That's what, I would assume that's what all those people in the asylum and stuff were. Like, people that they've experimented on like that.
What?
Similar to that? Like, in LS1. Where you go through the asylum and there's, like, people that are...
Oh, yeah.
Like, cut up and...
Yeah.
Like, paralyzed and... crazy. There's just people that they've been experimenting on, and they just throw all the crazies in the asylum.
Yeah. I guess we could probably close out.
It just pretty much covers everything. Yeah.
Next Thursday, June 8th, depending on when you're listening to this.
Pretty sure it was 3 p.m
Eastern Standard Time.
It's a little bit earlier than when we usually stream,
I feel like it'd be like 6 otherwise. Yeah, we're going to try to stream
think,
it.
Do you think you can do stream around 3 next Thursday for the Summer Game Fest?
Yeah, should be able to.
Yeah, it's a little bit earlier than we usually do it. But.
Yeah.
That'll be fun, though. I mean, it'll be more relaxed. We'll just have a thing on our second monitor or whatever.
Yeah.
Main monitor.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, so June 8th, if you can make it, we'll be streaming it 3 p.m. Eastern. Hopefully there are some good reveals. I honestly have nothing that I can think of.
I always look forward to Summer Game Fest, though. Yeah, they always have some at least one or two good reveals.
Who puts that on?
Jeff Keighley.
Oh, he does.
Who's Jeff? Yep. Oh, the Game Awards. Oh, that guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Our main man, Geoff. Yeah.
We used to make fun of him until he was like the best one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Then we watched the IGN one and we're like,
oh, that was awful.
Added like every 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Okay. And our 100th episode is coming up soon. We're still
this is 97, so still, we have three left after this one until we reach 100.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I think that's it. So, thanks everyone for listening, and we will see you in the next episode.